Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
It's a good Wednesday. Thanks for being with us. Sam Monson, Pro Football Focus, lead NFL analyst. Day before the NFL draft, you've heard from so many different guests, but the analytics side of it, there's still something there from my view. The draft is tomorrow night. The Cardinals have the 13th pick. We will be out there. And there is plenty of content up on the website at sports360az.com that you can check out. Our football show airs again tonight. And a good-looking show this week. It's on Fox Sports Arizona before and after the Diamondbacks game. We also partner with AZ Central. We appreciate the partnership with AZ Central Sports. It's a bad day in our industry. In one view, ESPN is letting go of 100 people today. 100 people that are in the industry side of writing and reporting, front-facing talent, as it is known in the biz, people that you've seen on television for years and years, and we'll get into that as the show progresses. I don't want to go too inside baseball on this. I'm not going to sit here and mourn. These people will be fine. They're very talented. They will find other platforms. It is interesting, though, to see a company like fill in the blank, whatever industry that you are in, as you're consuming this, as you're watching this, as you're listening to this, think of the industry that you're in and then think of the biggest beast on the corner, whatever industry that is that you are in. And did that big beast have to go through some corrections? Did they make missteps along the way? Are there more missteps to come? It doesn't matter what industry it is that you're in. You can think immediately of who the leader is. Maybe you are part of that company that is the leader, and you have made missteps, or there have been mistakes, and you have had dark days. Big national companies. Maybe you're right here in Phoenix, and it's your own little slice of heaven, and you have had tough days. I've had tough days doing this, but I've had many, many more great days. I was laid off one time. I was brought in, and I was told on the day of my 10-year anniversary, you've been too loyal. You've been here too long. You make too much money. This has nothing to do with ratings. You're no longer on the air here. You're free to come and go as you wish. We're going to pay you, but we're just going to go a different direction because we have to make cuts. And at the moment that it happened, it was, oh my gosh. And it was a tough, tough day. And today when I see guys like Ed Werder, so Ed Werder is a name that if you follow the NFL at all, if you've been in the Dallas Metroplex or you've just you consume the NFL media, Ed Werder is one of those respected, trusted faces and voices at ESPN. Danny Cannell was just let go. Danny Cannell has been somebody that has been there for quite some time. Almost all the hockey writers of ESPN have been blown out today. If you're a fan of the NHL and you're a fan of hockey and you rip on us or whomever and say there's not enough hockey coverage, there's not enough this, there's not enough that, the worldwide leader does not see that hockey is important. I think what's even more interesting about the cuts that have happened today is several of their college writers, football and basketball, have been let go. It's been hockey and college people that have been blown out for the most part. What does that say? Does that say that they don't believe in the college space as they once did? Potentially. And it's really early in the day, but those are some of the leading names that have been blown out. Jim Bowden, if you're a baseball fan, Jim Bowden was blown out. But how many baseball analysts do you need to have? And so this is a real big day in our industry to have someone that is perceived to be way up here and that all of us down here, and I just look at it and say, no, it's a market correction. Go look at Disney's stock price. These are the same people that offered Skip Bayless $5 million a year ago. They're taking these, let's just throw this dart and see if this works. Let's see if how many clicks we can get off this. This has nothing to do with politics. I've seen some of that nonsense today. Oh, it's with the way they lean. It has nothing to do with they don't talk sports enough. It has nothing to do with that. It has everything to do that they have over $100 million in rights fees tied up in the over $100 billion, I should say. Apologies there. $100 billion with a B. You have money tied up in the NFL, and the NFL gives you a substandard Monday night package, and you're paying all these people to talk about a product that people aren't watching because cable TV is going away. I can go on and on with this, but today's just it's the tip of the iceberg, I think, for our industry. And in some sense, a lot of these people will be fine. This is a market correction. Someone got really fat. Somebody got sat around a table and said, let's just go hire everybody. And you know what? A guy like Peter King said, you know, we're going to be funded by Sports Illustrated. We're going to go do the MMQB. A guy like me is saying, I'm going to be self-funded. I'm going to go out there. I'm going to hustle. I'm going to have partners that are going to believe in us. We're going to be lean and mean. I'm going to get a group of people together to go tell stories because storytelling still resonates. Today, ESPN announced that they're extending Bob Lee and Jeremy Schapp's vision and view and scope on their platforms. They're creating more E60s. They're going to create a longer outside the lines. What do you know? Yeah, people do want depth. They do want more than clicks on a story about what Dez Bryant is going to say about opening up against said player. That stuff just doesn't cut it. They do see that soccer is a worldwide growth. Bob Lee and Jeremy Schapp have taken that same approach. So I'm just seeing these trends as the day progresses and people being let go, and then some of the internal memos are being let out, and some PR stuff too, and you cut through all that. This isn't the darkest day. I mean, ESPN picked the day before the NFL draft to do all this. So there'll be buzz about it this morning. And by this afternoon, it'll be who is your team going to pick with a 13th pick overall? And all will be forgotten. The Edwarders of the world will find other things. It sounds really harsh, really callous. I'm sad these people are being let go, but they'll be fine. They will find other spaces. They are too good. And as the day progresses, as the show progresses, there may be no more names that come out. So are you shocked by any of this stuff today, E?
I'm not shocked by it, but I am saddened by it.
Because?
Where
are you? I don't see you.
It's not.
Is your camera not on again? Camera's not working today?
TV day.
Ah. It's where Jared will get it fixed. Jared will get it fixed.
There we go.
Yeah.
You should be seeing me within a matter of moments.
Well,
here.
It's just
other people use this board, and it's just the way life.
Well,
we get it
worked out before the show starts.
I'm just saddened by it. I don't like seeing anybody lose their job, and I do agree with you. Most everybody that has gotten let go will find work, but it's not a fun space to be in looking for a job. I've been in the same boat as you, and you just.
Yeah, but you're really talented too. You're fine. You were really talented the day it happened to you. It's fine. It wasn't fun, and it's in our rearview
mirrors. But when you're in that,
in the moment, sure.
And you get up in the morning, and you don't have your routine is broken, and you don't have a place to go, and you're trying to connect with people, and trying to look for jobs, and searching on the internet, and the clock is ticking on things like your mortgage and your car payments, and it can be pretty unnerving.
Well. I'd say unnerving is these guys, this has been leaked out like 2 months ago. Could you imagine walking around for a couple of months? Like there was some stuff going on before I was called in, and a lot of us were let go that day. I don't know where your space was, but I would think to be on a national platform, like Ed Werder was all prepped for the draft. He was going to go to his assignment and they said, you're done. So, and there'll be some stories that'll come out of the bitter employee and,
but as you and I have talked about, Brad, several times, everything in life happens for a reason, even if you don't see it immediately.
Sure.
And I've always lived by that creed, and I think you have too. So they will figure out what's next, and they may come out on the other side even better than they were before.
ESPN is paying Texas $65 million for the Longhorn Network. I mean, what type of decision was that? If you were just to go step by step through some of their missteps that where today there's this Armageddon going on around ESPN. A lot of contracts that were signed, people that were brought in, them just deciding to go chase clicks rather than content. I mean, they've made mistakes all over the place, and I'm not reveling in it, but you can see that. And when you would talk to employees, even current employees that are there, the culture is nowhere near what it once was. It just has changed. So that's going on. Darrell Washington being reinstated by the NFL. Okay, so there's those of you that are really excited about this bit of news. D-Wash. We're going to hear D-Wash. It's always the nicknames from the people that are cheering rather than reporting. So D-Wash. D-Wash hasn't been around, so let's just get off that. A. B. I don't know if he can still play. Do you know if he can still play? I don't know. What's he been doing for the last 3 years? Now, this whole idea that the Cardinals have no idea, they've made no contact, is beyond laughable. The Cardinals have security. The Cardinals have a guy that does security. It's not just one guy, and he's been there a long time, and he's very well known and well respected. He's that guy that when Michael Floyd gets popped in Scottsdale, he's the guy that gets the first call. And then he goes out and figures out what happened from there. So to think that the Cardinals, we've had no contact, absolutely no, right. Don't buy that for a minute. Yeah, we have no idea what he's been doing. Mm-hmm, sure. Could it be that the Cardinals, as part of, I'm not saying the whole deal, and this is, you know, this is one of the sad sides of sport. A guy has a personal problem, and he has it over and over and over. And because he can play a game, he keeps getting brought back over and over and over. And then it'll turn into, you'll read words like redemption. When they do the big takeout, it's a redemption story. And people like redemption stories. You know, Michael Floyd is now a redemption story. Darryl Washington's a redemption story. Is the NFL in the business of rehab? Are pro sports in the business of rehab? I think it's a very fair question to ask. People do have missteps. People do have problems. People do have issues. There should be a one chance, two chance. I mean, how many strikes do you get? How many opportunities should Johnny Manziel have had?
You get a lot more strikes when you're a pro bowler. And that's as sad.
What
as
lane are you on? Seven or eight?
As sad. Not a pro bowler, a pro bowl football player.
Yeah. Well,
and I agree with you. It's funny, like the people on social yesterday were like, this is great news. Darryl Washington's body hasn't taken the abuse on the field for the last 4 years. Well, guess what? Like you said, what has he been doing? Of course we get the, I'm in the best shape of my life. I've been training 6 days a week, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, but you're not NFL training. You're training on your own. And it's much different when you have to go through the grind of training camp, the season, OTAs, weight training, because you know, Brad, the NFL is now a year-round business.
Sure. Well, in May, and look, Michael and Steve and Bruce are going to need to talk to him.
Of course, yeah, absolutely.
And not just once, not just five times. And there's going to be background checks, but to think that they've just completely lost sight and tuned him out, come on.
But they trusted him once, and he broke their trust.
Sure, sure. Is he more mature? Because we're going to hear that. Do I sound jaded? It's because I've seen this deal before. It's like showing up with the pink shirt on The View. It's like showing up on Ellen's show. There is image rehab that goes on. It's like you go to the Olympic Games and you flat out lie about stuff, and then you show up on Dancing with the Stars. We're all big on image rehab. I'm not when I see it just so blatant. If Darryl Washington takes the low road here, which is show up, head down, guys, I'm just here to play football, and I'm just blessed to have another opportunity. He'll be coached up on what to say, and that's fine. Can he play the game of football and stay out of trouble? Not in that order. Can he stay out of trouble and play the game of football? If so, he's paid his penance, as we like to say. He's been out a long time. Can he still be productive? I don't know. Hey, Carlos, you want to come back here and join the Cardinals? We're probably going to have Darryl Washington here, and you need to keep an eye on Darryl Washington. You need to mentor. You need to oversee. You need to do this and do that. There's going to be some of that conversation. And when it's May, and if in fact they do bring him back, coming up, Darryl Washington on the field. You'll hear from him next. Yeah, I'm really excited to be back here, and I'm just blessed for the opportunity, and I'm so thankful to Michael Bidwell and Coach Arians. And it's the rehab business. It is. And that's just part of where we are in professional sports in this day and age. You can take it or you can leave it. Some of you are leaving it. I just kind of tend to look at it and tilt my head and say, show me where they're at next December and how the season has progressed, and if the young man can get back on track, or now an older man, and if his bank account can be replenished because he's not getting an NFL or hasn't been getting an NFL check over the last few years. And discussion about whether or not weed should be allowed or not is going to be brought up. All that stuff is predictable. What we don't know is, for fact, do the Cardinals even want him back? If the Cardinals said, we don't even want you back, that would not play well here in town, I don't think. If you bring him in and you say, let's sit and visit about this, I think that makes more sense to me. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic. I'm Brad Sismatic. So I'm watching the Diamondbacks again last night. That's all I'm watching now. I don't watch anything else. Every night, unless there was a brief moment where I flipped over to watch Joe Johnson kill the Clippers again, which was fine. I don't know about you guys, my viewing habits, and it's April. It's not like I'm sitting here in June, July and wondering. I am hooked every night. I'm in my office. I don't have the audio on. It's no offense to Berth Hume and Brenly. It's just I don't. I am in there. I'm working on ideas, content, stories, scripts, book. A lot of things I'm working on. Sales and everything with the company. And so I'm watching the Diamondbacks last night, and I actually did lean over and turn up the volume because for the fifth straight first inning, they hit a home run last night. Goldschmidt's home run last night. I mean, watch this ball. That is like, oh my gosh, absolutely destroys. And you know, I know the Padres aren't any good, and I don't care. I don't. If you're going to be one of those guys that says, "Well, it's the Padres are beating up on. They haven't played any good teams," then you just haven't really followed sports. It's who shows up and. You on the schedule and you take care of business. You don't sit there and whine about it, especially through 162 games. So they get a home run from Goldschmidt, his fourth. Like a week ago, I think, it was about a week ago, I brought up Goldschmidt was hitting 235 or something. And in the last week, he's just gone crazy, and he's even had the day off. Descalzo hit one out last night, and then Corbin came in, gave him another quality start. He threw 71 strikes in seven innings. Last night. He struck out nine. And so here the Diamondbacks are. They're hitting 283 with two outs. 283 with two outs. There's just number after number that says this is a really fun team to watch. If you watch their games, it's now come to be commonplace to have a crooked number up there. Not just for the finals, but in different innings of games. And they're doing this in a way that makes you think, well, they can't just stop hitting as a team, and they can't just stop pitching as a team. And yeah, Greinke last two starts have been against the Padres. I understand that. But they're building themselves up enough of something here in April that we're going to come into May here, and unless they have an epic collapse, when you get off to a quick start, you can afford to have the inevitable 5- and 6-game losing streak. That's going to happen. But when you have a guy like Greinke, assuming he pitches as he's able to, very seldom are you going to have a 5- or 6-game losing streak because more often than not, he's going to come in and be the ace, you would think.
I saw some stuff last night, Brad, that I just love about this Diamondbacks team.
What particularly,
there was an instance, I can't remember what inning it was. There were two outs and somebody walked.
Yeah.
And then there was a 50-50 pass ball wild pitch. I believe it was Goldschmidt that was on first. And Goldschmidt took off for second on the 50-50 ball that just kind of trickled away from the catcher, got to second safely, and then got singled in. Like, that's how you win baseball games. You take chances when an opportunity presents itself, and then you have somebody in the lineup that comes up with a big two-out hit. That's how you stack runs. That's how you win games. Last year, you didn't see any of that.
Last year?
Well, the last couple years.
Several.
But you notice when this team for the longest time hasn't done the little things, and now this year we're seeing them do the little things, it's just like a huge ray of light shining into Chase Field. Like, this is how Chip Hale wanted them to play.
Like, I was at a workout place yesterday. I'm thinking about changing the place where I work out. And I walk in, and they had on Fox Sports Arizona, okay? Yeah, our show is on Fox Sports Arizona, so I have a vested interest in it. If you go into most sports bars and most businesses, it's never on because the Suns haven't been any good. The Diamondbacks haven't been any good. The Coyotes haven't been any good. And now, yesterday, I walk in the middle of the afternoon, guy starts talking about the Diamondbacks, how well they're playing, how he's a fan. Not only is it just like one monitor? It's like four monitors in front of all the treadmills. And then I see on social media where there's places that are starting to post pictures of, hey, they actually have the game on here. For years, I would walk into places, like the last several years, and places of drink and food, and say, the Suns game's on tonight. Can you flip it on? Oh, we didn't even know. The Diamondbacks are playing. Can you put, nobody's really asking about that. We'll put it on a corner.
We went to a restaurant a week ago tonight, a pretty popular North Phoenix restaurant.
Yeah.
16 TVs.
Yeah.
How many were on the Diamondback game?
One.
Zero.
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 Yeah, they don't even know. So, I mean, part of that is just the apathy that's gone on for so long. And now you sit here and look at it, and we're in April, and we're not just talking about what are the Cardinals going to do with the 13th pick in the draft. That's important. It's important. But when you are a four sport about to become five when the MLS comes here, major sports town, you can't have crapola year-round outside of football.
What's worse, Brad? I'll let you ponder this for a moment.
I won't ponder.
Is it worse that these bars aren't showing the games, or is it worse that the fans don't even care that the bars, for the most part, aren't showing these games?
I think it's worse that the bars aren't. I mean, if you're in the business of showing sports and you don't know that the game is on and you still have it on from CBS over the weekend because the Masters, and you're showing a soap opera at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, then you're just not in the right business. You know, you can't just walk in there. If you are a sports restaurant,
you're not really targeting your audience, are you?
You're not even paying attention to what's going on, or you have guys that are there to work, and you say, hey, can you flip on this game? And they're like, oh, we really don't know how to do it. We're sorry. We have to keep it over on the Food Channel because the cleaning crew was watching that overnight. I mean, come on. You know, I think it's worse than the establishment. I mean, consumers are busy. We're just busy people here in the Americas. We don't want to go out to a restaurant and have to request, can you turn it around? We want it already on. And so, you know, tonight when they play, I will watch. Are you finding your viewing habits changing on this, or is it just you and I in the force? I know your wife's not the biggest sports fan.
No, but she's
actually not even the biggest. She's tiny.
But she will let me watch it. And in the past, it was, we sit down for dinner and we usually eat in front of the TV, which is not the real American way of doing it, but I guess it is the real American way of doing it in this day and age. And we usually go through our TV options, and the Diamondbacks honestly weren't even on the radar. And now it's the Suns usually weren't even on the radar. The Coyotes were usually not even on the radar.
Yeah.
And now it's, hey, the Diamondbacks are on. Okay, let's watch a few innings.
Yeah. Yeah. She want to go to a game?
She likes going to the games, but.
Yeah. Yeah.
In the past, there was just no reason to watch. Let's just be, I mean, when the team's horrible, which they have been.
Well, and you know, when I watch the broadcasts, I want to see baseball, and I get it when the team stinks that you've got to do anything. So you're going to show churro dog after churro dog, and the whole idea there is let's do a broadcast to convince people to come down here and spend money. And that sounds all well and good, but the ice cream's going to be there for the churro dog. If you have a lousy team, that's the end result. So don't hype it up by saying come down here and eat all this great food and watch a team that's brutal. Now, this is an embraceable group of players, and it's not just watching Paul Goldschmidt anymore. Like the last few years, it's, is Paul Goldschmidt going to hit a 3-run home run? I have to sit here and watch Paul Goldschmidt do something. No, I'm actually managing with Torrey Lovello now. Like I'm actually into what he is trying to accomplish with this team because he's won at a big level. You know, yeah, A.J. Pollock not being here last year, now it really shows what they missed by not having him here last year. I get it. But even on a pitching side, like Taiwan Walker's throwing tonight, I'm kind of interested to watch him. You know, Corbin looks like he's come all the way back. They got Archie Bradley sitting down in the bullpen collecting moths. Or is that Godley throwing tonight? Taiwan's tomorrow night. My mistake. Is that Godley who was here last year? And he was okay. They decided to keep him around. He's been up in Reno. He comes down. Walker throws tomorrow. You know, that's, I think it's normal for fans to get into the, if you talk to a Red Sox fan, they can tell you who's pitching. And they can even tell you 3 days from now who's pitching. Like I already thought ahead, when is Greinke throwing again? Could we have Greinke next week against Washington? That could turn out to be a tremendous, it could be a Scherzer-Greinke matchup. Well, Greinke's probably going to throw Saturday this week. Maybe Sunday. So he'll miss Washington, and that's too bad. But that's how I operate. I start to look ahead at who's going to throw. And it's fun.
It's nice too, Brad, that the Diamondbacks have actually flipped the script when it comes to Valley Sports expectations. I mean, last year going the Cardinal season, huge expectations, disappointing year. Last year going the Sun season, not huge expectations, but you thought there would be improvement. There wasn't. The Coyotes ended, not this season, but the previous season, playing pretty decent hockey, so you thought maybe there'd be an improvement. No improvement. The Diamondbacks, everyone thought, including you and I shouldn't speak for you, but I thought they were going to stink. And so far, it's just been the complete opposite.
Well, here's what I like about them. There has been very little, if any, this. Okay?
Head down, play ball.
Just, I've had enough of pro sports teams in our town banging their chests saying, look at how great we are. Just the only measurement, when I get the look at everything we're doing, look at us, look at all we're doing in the community, look at all the money that we're giving over here, look at all the money we're giving over there, look at all the things that we have for families here and there. I understand you have to get your message out, but man, it's just like, it's a pro sports town. Boom, boom. We're going to bang you over the head because no one else is going to help us out. No, we shouldn't help you out. Win games. Be a good corporate steward in town. The rest will take care of itself. You're going to have seasons where you don't make the playoffs. And when you do, you build up enough brand equity. You build up enough fan loyalty that they're going to be with you through thick and thin. Or thin and thin and thin as it's been. I mean, I think I'm not ever going to sit here and say fans need to show up and watch the team play. I watch them on TV. I'm somewhat interested in taking my family to see a game. I'm not quite there yet because the in-game experience isn't as good as being at home. It just isn't. Miles Garrett, and this whole thing about Wunderlich scores, I'm really uncomfortable with, and his has come out. And people throw around test scores of a kid like it's something we should be laughing about. I'm going to get into that on the other side. Much more on the draft as we move right through a busy Wednesday. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic. I'm Brad Sussmap. So during the break, Jason Stark got blown out at ESPN. What's going on today? Jason Stark on Twitter. Like, if you think ESPN baseball, Jason Stark's been there a long, long time. And Jason Stark just let go in today's cuts. Danny Cannell got let go today from college football over there. Brett McMurphy, good writer, got let go. Ed Werder got let go. About 100 people at ESPN, as we're sitting here doing our show today, are being informed that they're being blown out. As the day progresses, more and more names will come out. Jason Stark, I'm not surprised by that one, unfortunately. If they're looking around at veteran tenure and Ed Werder got let go, then they're going to start looking at guys that have been there for longer than 10 years. So, wow, that's a tough one. Jim Harbaugh is in the cycle. So we look at Jim Harbaugh, and if you're from Michigan, you're a Michigan Wolverine fan, you absolutely love Jim Harbaugh. Most everywhere else in the country, you don't. I like Jim Harbaugh. I think sports needs more Jim Harbaughs. The world is far more interesting with Jim Harbaugh. He's a hell of a football coach. He's got a sense of humor about him. He also has a side of him that's kind of like, read between the lines. This is what I'm going to do. Okay? And there's nothing wrong with that. So Jim Harbaugh last year was roasted, and coaches were really upset with him taking his team down to Florida and doing the whole satellite training thing. And all of that. Really, really upset people were. Well, Jim Harbaugh decided to go cross the pond, as they say. So he took Michigan all the way to Rome. Yes. They met the Pope. There he is. Jim Harbaugh giving the Pope a Wolverine helmet. Now, I'm just wondering if you're a Notre Dame fan. This is exactly playing with you. They also raised the Michigan flag at the Vatican while they were there. And he gave him a pair of Air Jordans. Jim Harbaugh gave the Pope a pair of Air Jordans. If you're a Catholic, I am not laughing at the religion, okay? I mean, I have my religious stance, my religious beliefs. Everybody has something they believe in. I'm merely pointing out that for Jim Harbaugh to take Michigan over there And Notre Dame fans have just got to be going crazy over this. I love this story. I can't get enough of that.
The only thing that would make this story better is if Jim Harbaugh took them to Rome in the absolute dead of summer, because it would have been an even bigger media circus, social media explosion.
Sure.
I mean, we're right up against the start of the NFL draft, but if he would have dropped this bad boy in like mid to late June, when we're all just scratching and jonesing to get our college football fix, it'd be a huge deal. And I'm actually a little bit surprised that he didn't look at the calendar and be like, this is the day we're going to do it right here.
I heard a brief interview with a Michigan player. I think it was on ESPN News. I'm on Sirius. It's all I listen to.
Or maybe the day after the All-Star game, not to interrupt
because
that is the deadest, quote-unquote, deadest day in sports.
But ESPN did send over a reporter. They may have got let go today. Who knows? But ESPN did send over a reporter that followed around the players. And the players talked about how cool it was that they were given a field trip. That's a heck of a field trip. Hey, get on the bus. We're going to get on a plane, and the field trip means you got to go to sleep for 8 hours or whatever it is, and you're going to go to the Vatican, and you're going to meet the Pope, and we're going to give Michigan swag, and Notre Dame fans are just going to be going absolutely bananas. I think it's great. Then there's this story that caught my eye today. So Greg Popovich, for everybody who does not like Greg Popovich, I happen to like watching him coach. I happen to appreciate that he has the most victories, postseason appearances, of anybody in the NBA, I believe it is, the number. No, it's in all sports. Number of postseason, consecutive postseason appearances. I'll get that right. Greg Popovich has. Don't care that he beats the Suns like a drum. Don't care what happened with Amari back in the day. That's over with. I'm not going to sit here and grouse about San Antonio while the Suns can't figure out even to grab their backside with both hands. Greg Popovich is at a restaurant in Memphis the other night. Greg Popovich has a nice dinner, I'm assuming. I've got some thoughts on that. And at the end of the night, here's the receipt that he leaves for the server.
What?
$5,000 tip. Greg Popovich.
It's great.
So Greg Popovich rolls up a heck of a bill. Now, what I would like to see is how many glasses of wine or bottles of nice wine, because Greg Popovich is a wine guy. He has his own brand, his own this, his own that. So you have to believe that there was a server that was just all over them, or servers that were all over them.
Have you ever worked at a restaurant? Have you ever served
I
food?
I have.
Ever been a waiter?
Not.
I have.
Yeah.
And you and I have eaten out enough to see when the server picks up the check and walks away from the table, it's always the real quick open-close.
Yep.
Every time. I'm guessing whoever that server was probably opened, closed, put it in their vest, grabbed the book again, opened it again, looked at it again, confirmed what it was, put it down, went back to the kitchen and was like, hey, guess what? Greg Popovich, what a great guy.
Now, if you're Greg Popovich and you see that server put it on social media, you adjust it? Are you mad?
I'm a little bit upset.
Yeah.
But he has to know that something like that would become public.
Okay, so let's say
he's smart enough to know that that would hit social media like it did.
Let's say that it depends on how much wine he had. Let's say that he did that here in Phoenix. Okay. And there's these fans that are all wound up about Greg Popovich and the Spurs because they just can't get over the fact the Spurs always get over on them. And the only way that's going to change, guys, is for the Suns to beat the Spurs, and that hasn't happened. They might want to just try making the playoffs to begin with. So when you recite stuff that happened 8 years, 9 years ago of playoff losses, the Spurs, now the refs screwed you, it happened. Move on. What if he did that here at a restaurant here in Phoenix? Would that restaurant meet some wrath and anger from Suns fans? He did that in a restaurant in Memphis. Is Memphis really that sophisticated when it comes to being an NBA town? I don't think so. When I've been there, it's just kind of like sort of something to do.
It's just very personal here with the Spurs, like you said. So I don't know how that would be. That could be well received, or that could be, man, we really hate these guys.
No, that's true. Miles Garrett, and I got to take a break here. Miles Garrett, so people find it fascinating to do Wonderlic score tests. Like the Wonderlic just really is going to show for sure that you can or cannot play the game. It may be, I don't know, have you ever thought about this? Some people test better than others. Some people don't test well. Miles Garrett scored a 31 out of 50 Deshaun Watson scored a 23. Ezekiel Elliott scored a 32. Dak Prescott had a 23. Mitch Trubisky this year has a 25. Josh Dobbs had a 29. Does that mean I'm supposed to take Josh Dobbs? Aaron Rodgers had a 35. Eli Manning had a 49. Ryan Fitzpatrick had a 48. But Patrick Mahomes only had a 24. So because Patrick Mahomes had a 24, I'm supposed to say, well, we're not taking him because, well, he's never going to be Aaron Rodgers. I don't know that. I mean, how much stock do you put in this stuff? Because these scores are now floating around like this is, you know, it's coming to be draft time when the Wunderlic scores get posted. In fact, on the other side, Sam Monson's going to be with us. Pro Football Focus lead NFL analyst will check in. We're going to talk about what the Cardinals could do at 13. I'm going to ask him about the Wunderlic stuff just being floated out there today because it's everywhere. Just get his view on that and some other things as well. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic. I'm Brad Sussman. All right, during the break, Trent Dilfer let go. That's now on Twitter, on social media. Ed Werder, Brett McMurphy. I mean, I can go on and on. A lot of names today as the bloodletting at ESPN continues. Day before the NFL draft, Brad Sussmat, Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Football show tonight on Fox Sports Arizona. We have 14 airings per week and really appreciate you guys being involved in our sponsors, too, with Brad Sussmat, Football AZ. Sam Monson joins us now, Pro Football Focus, lead NFL analyst, number 13 for the Arizona Cardinals tomorrow. Sam, how are you?
I am good. How are you?
Sam, I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm ready to get the draft done, finished, and move on to the next step. But as you're sitting here 24 hours out, from Pro Football Focus's standpoint, your standpoint, who makes the most sense at 13 for Arizona?
I think Arizona are in a great spot at 13 because they have a lot of different places that they could go and get an immediate impact starter. You know, this is a team that has a few holes, and it's not necessarily a bad roster, but it has a few different places that you could pick a player and have a day one impact. Plus, you've got that possibility of the franchise quarterback of the future if the right guy drops there as well. So I think they're one of the best placed teams in the entire first round in terms of being able to pick what everybody says you should do and take the best player available on your board.
If you're talking about the quarterback and you're talking about the numbers, the metrics, the PFF look at Patrick Mahomes, is there a better fit for the Cardinals and what they do out here from your view?
Yeah, I think both Patrick Mahomes and also DeShone Kizer, to an extent, are good fits for this Arizona offense. You know, the way they like to go deep down the field, they're not a high-percentage offense. They like to strike deep and pick up big chunk plays and win that way. And I think both those two guys have excellent arms, have the ability to make all of those kind of throws. Each one of them, though, needs some kind of development. They need some kind of seasoning. I think Mahomes is further ahead than Kizer in terms of what you need to work on, but I think both of those guys would need a year to learn on the bench. And again, I think the Cardinals are well placed because they're one of the few teams that can afford to do that.
And in terms of Kizer, he's been all over the board, it seems like to me. You hear that there's so much upside, but then you hear others that will say there's a side to him that he is not in that first tier of quarterbacks. I mean, is he a mid first from your view at PFF? Is he a lower mid first?
Yeah, I'm not sure. Based on our grading of him, I'm not sure that he should even be a first round pick at all. I think he's got some incredible talent. He's got big play potential, but there's so much bad in his tape, and going grade for grade, he's never matched those other guys, Mahomes, Deshaun Watson, even Trubisky. He's never been at that level. And when you look at some of the bad situations he's in, when he was pressured last season, his passer rating dropped hugely. His completion percentage dropped 15%. He was making some poor plays under pressure. I think this is a guy that there's so much inconsistency to his game. If you're able to get the best out of him down the road, you'll get a steal. But there's so much bad in there that I would wonder if he's worth a first-round pick at all.
Talking about the NFL draft, Sam Monson, Pro Football Focus, lead NFL analyst for a couple of minutes. Yesterday, Darryl Washington gets reinstated by the NFL. We don't know what the Cardinals are going to do with Darryl Washington. At linebacker, they bring in Carlos Dansby. They lose Kevin Minter. Is a guy like Hanson Reddick makes sense for Arizona at 13?
Yeah, I think Reddick is a really intriguing guy because a lot of teams are going to be projecting him to this off-the-ball linebacker role, and that wasn't what he was doing at Temple. But I think he can become this kind of hybrid linebacker at the next level, a bit like a Von Miller early in his Denver career, where he was playing strong side linebacker off the ball for the first two downs, and then he became an edge rusher on third downs. And I think that's kind of what you could expect maybe Hassan Reddick to do. You know, he generated a huge amount of pressure for Temple. He had 10 sacks last year. He had another 29 pressures, 4 hits. This is a guy that can get after the quarterback, but he's so small in comparison to other edge rushers that you're going to need to do something else with him on those first couple of downs. So I think he's a really intriguing prospect and a guy that I think the more people watch of him, the better everyone likes him.
And Sam, I got a couple of people that sent me notes about Reuben Foster and in your view there. And, you know, we know what happened at the combine, but Reuben Foster for Arizona at 13, does he make it there? Does he slide? Reuben Foster.
I mean, certainly his on the field play, there's no reason he should be there anywhere near 13. He should be gone in the first 5 picks or so. Whether this off the field stuff between the combine, between any other rumors and rumblings that have come up, whether that's caused him to slide is a question mark. You know, we don't know how that kind of stuff impacts, but the closer that kind of stuff raises its head to the draft, I think the more it worries teams and the bigger an impact it can potentially have. But he's the kind of guy where if he manages to slide that far and then he keeps his nose clean at the next level, he would turn into an absolute steal because this is one of the top 5 players in the entire draft.
And finally, if you're looking at wild cards, I know you've been asked this. We've all tried to figure it out. I saw Christian McCaffrey a lot. I love what he's all about. I know there's some concern about miles on the legs. But if I'm the Arizona Cardinals and I know that Larry Fitzgerald is leaving and I know David Johnson can't carry the ball that much and I could put Christian McCaffrey in a whole lot of different places, is he a wild card for Arizona at 13?
It's an interesting fit because I think he can have a David Johnson kind of impact on an offense at the next level. You can do all the things you do with David Johnson in terms of asking him to carry the ball, then splitting him out as a receiver, and really causing teams matchup problems that way. I guess the issue is that Arizona does already have David Johnson. Yep. And, you know, had him on the field for the majority of the time. So it's difficult to carve McCaffrey that big of a role given what they already have. But in terms of fit, he's an ideal candidate to do exactly that.
I'll let you go off that. I appreciate your time and your insight as always, Sam. Thanks.
Anytime. Thanks for having me.
Sam Monson there, Pro Football Focus. Good stuff. Dale Earnhardt Jr. is in the news cycle. So when you think concussions aren't a big deal in all of sports, this is the rock star of rock stars when it comes to NASCAR. He's done at the end of the year. He said, I've had enough of the concussions, and he is going to walk away. He's already started to pare things back. But Dale Earnhardt Jr. now, when they do the documentary on concussions, a wide-ranging, deep dive, lots of money behind the project on concussions, because that hasn't been done yet. Lots of people are doing the NFL side. It wipes out this guy's career on the track, and he never has been right since his last one. And to use the word sad, it just sounds so trite. And yeah, it's sad. No, it's when I'm driving a car 200 miles an hour and I go into a wall, I can't figure that out. I understand that. But it's taken away his senses of being able to function in that role. He just has not recovered fully from the concussions. We have our football show tonight on Fox Sports Arizona. You can check it out. It's before the Diamondbacks game, 5 to 6. It's on after the Diamondbacks game. It's on in the middle of the night. You can DVR it. And it's on tomorrow morning as well. Brad Sussmat, Football AZ. Check that out. We have plenty of content up on our website, Pro College High School College Pro. We launched a new forum section that Jason Jewell moderates. It's all about high school and college football recruiting. It's really good. It's on the homepage on the upper right corner forums. Go check it out. Of course, we're on your mobile device too at sports360az.com. Jared Nielsen is our chairman of the board. Edwin Rodriguez, the sidekick today. Eric Sorensen produces as always, and I'm Brad Sussmat. Thanks to our sponsors for making this possible every day, and thanks to you. Thanks for being with us.